Some of you know that last Sunday we handed out scripture verses during worship. People were invited to come forward and to receive one from a stack, face down, randomly mixed together. Psalms, prophets, the Gospels, and the letters. There are six of them here. It's a variation, a theme of what we've done other years. Other years we were given a word from the Bible. Encouragement, faith, hope, peace, and so on. This year it's a verse, and there are six of them. And the purpose is not just to bookmark it, and occasionally, just on occasion, pull it out and look at it. The purpose is to live with it, to pray through it, to memorize it, to talk about it, to ask questions about it, to live with it, and to have this as a unique lens for living life this year and beyond. If you weren't here last week, or if you, for whatever reason, didn't get one, I have this stack here, or you can stop by the church office during the week. So if you've received a verse, or if you're going to get one after worship today, I have a question for you. Since we believe that God is always at work, and God is always at work in His Word, and that God is at work here today in this gathering in worship, even in the fine-tuned details like when we pick from a stack of cards and get a verse on cardstock, here's the question. Why did you receive that verse? Is there something about that particular verse, an edge, a challenge, maybe a bit of history, maybe a yearning that fits with you, that somehow pushes and affirms and challenges you in a way that's just right? Why that verse? We'll be focusing on each of these verses over 6 weeks, beginning today with Psalm 105, which happens to be the verse that I picked. And I'll confess to you that up until recently, I've not spent a lot of time with Psalm 105. I've read it before many times, but there are other of these Hebrew prayers in the Psalms, other Psalms that have risen up and become very personal for me through the years. Psalm 105 has not been one of them. So I'm just at the front end of understanding and working with and getting to know this psalm. Before I read the first part of it, which is our sermon text for today, let me give just a little bit of a background. Psalm 105 is called a liturgical psalm. It was read by the priests when there'd be a large annual gathering of the Israelites for worship. And they'd read Psalm 105. It's also called a hallelujah psalm. It begins with praise the Lord and ends with praise the Lord, and woven throughout the whole thing is praise. And hallelujah, hallel means praise, and Yah is the Hebrew short version of Yahweh. So hallelujah is praise God. This is one of those psalms. Psalm 105 begins at a gallop. It begins with imperatives. There are 10 of them strung together like pearls on a string, command words. But these are inviting command words. Give praise, call on His name, make known what He has done, sing praise, and so on. In the first four verses of Psalm 105, it's these imperatives. God saying through the psalmist, do this. Keep this at the front end. Praise, sing, tell. And then with praise as the foundation, in verse 5 comes the word remember. And it'll be helpful to have your Bible open. Remember. Which is then repeated again in verse 8 and in verse 42. Remember. Zakar is the Hebrew word for remember, and it means record, mention, mark this in some way that you can hold it in mind. Remember. Remember the wonders that God has done. Because, we'll read it again in verse 8 and verse 42, if we went that far, God remembers His covenant. Remember because God remembers. Remember on our side of the equation because God remembers on His side of the equation. Remember. And from verse 5 forward in Psalm 105, we have a very condensed version of the story of God and His people. Beginning with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then on to Moses and Aaron and life in the wilderness, and finally opening up into the promised land, to Canaan. And toward the end of the psalm, we read about the Israelites coming into Canaan. It reads this way: He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep His precepts and observe His laws. Praise the Lord. Basically, it's remember the whole story, all the time. That's a glimpse of Psalm 105. So follow along with me as I read the first 9 verses. Give praise to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing of Him. Sing His praises. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, the judgments He pronounced. You, His servants, the descendants of Abraham, His chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the promise He made for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been thinking a lot about that word remember and the role that remembering plays in life. It plays a huge role in family, in marriage, in friendships, in life together in the church. How often do we say to friends or family or spouses, do you remember the time when? Or do you remember we used to? Or do you remember the time that this happened or you said? It's endless. All those things that we can pull up as we remember. Of course, it's not all sweetness and light. We know that. There are those remembered things that it would be great not to remember. Remembered pain or anger, those can be tattooed into our memories. Wrong or hurtful things done to us that can continue to fester, or regrettable things that we've done that we continue to regret. We remember those, don't we? There are a lot of things for which we would love to have a delete button or a do-over in a healthy way where we don't just hold on to that in pain. But those are there. And we don't necessarily choose to remember those things, much as we might shove them aside at points. They're just with us, and they sometimes come out in a sideways fashion, and they can have a very visceral hold on us. Of course, there is a good side to that, to remembering the hard things. Protection and awareness. We remember pain and we don't want that again. We remember our vulnerabilities or where or with whom we are not safe. We remember the ways that we are prone to sin and have those flagged as don't go there. That's wisdom gained from experience. Sometimes very painfully. Sadly, though, that kind of remembering, sometimes it becomes something other than healthy protection and awareness. And we know that. It can become the pretext for holding on to unforgiveness and anger. That kind of remembering that grows a sourness of spirit in us. A bitter root that touches everything and puts a hard shell around our hearts saying, don't touch. I do bite. That type of thing. I mention this because in Psalm 105 in verse 5 and 8 and 42. We read this. Remember. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles. He remembers His covenant forever, the promise He made to 1,000 generations. He remembers His holy promises. He remembers. Of the many wonders God has done, the outright miracles He brings, tightly tied into the promises He's made to His people, and we are part of that 1,000 generations. Tightly tied into all this is this. The redeeming of life. The redeeming of lives. He redeems people and things and what we remember. He takes the broken and He makes them whole. He takes the wounded and He brings healing. God remembers what He has promised. And He calls His people to remember what He's done and who He is. To remember that He remembers us. The huge story told from verse 9 through 45 in this psalm, from Abraham all the way out to the opening up of the promised land. If you go back and reread that story, Genesis through Joshua, it's not a straight line story. It's very twisty. And it's not populated with a bunch of nice people and pleasant picnics. There are a lot of really hard, crushing things that happen in that whole story. Yet throughout it all, God provides and God is present and God delivers and God remembers His people. He remembers His promises and tells His people, "Remember me, because I remember you. Remember me. Remember what I've done." And move forward with that remembrance. And it all circles back to the top of the psalm. Give praise. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing praise. Sing praise to Him for the wonders He's done. This is where and how we are invited to live with God, seeking His face. Seeking His healing, His intervening, grace-pouring presence in the complicated details of our lives. And this is why He sent His Son, Jesus, to open this wide open for us. To know His presence, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and new life through Him. All through Jesus. Looking across this room, I know a bit, but I only know a tiny fraction of the wounds and brokenness that some of you have. Only a bit. This is where we go with our wounds and our brokenness. Psalm 105 and the 10 imperatives at the beginning is a powerful place to go. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. It's a wide open invitation saying, "Come and be with me because I'm already with you." Remember. Biblically, seeking God's face is not meant literally in terms of, "I want to see your face with my eyes right now." One day, yes. When the veil is removed, when through Jesus Christ we stand with countless other faithful witnesses before God in glory and all that that means, we will see His face. Revelation 22:4, in John's vision of heaven, they will see His face and His name will be on their foreheads. Wow. One day. But not yet. Until that day, biblically, seeking God's face simply means humbly seeking His presence, His grace. Seeking to have the barriers of sin removed, forgiven, and to be brought closer and closer to Him. The Hebrew meaning for the word face, and that word is panim, it means that part of a person or that aspect of God that turns. Like we turn our face. That part of that aspect of God that turns and pays close and merciful attention. 2 Chronicles 7:14 puts it beautifully. God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." That's seeking his face. In humility, in repentance, in prayer, leading to God's forgiveness and healing, his grace, pouring merciful presence, his face. And all of this comes together most beautifully, most powerfully, ultimately, in God's greatest gift to us, Jesus, the embodiment of God's Word. So I've been thinking a lot about remembering in terms of the harder parts of life and the healing, the forgiving and releasing that God brings, which is all embedded in Psalm 105. I've also been thinking about remembering in another way. Going back to what I mentioned earlier, remembering is such a beautiful part of life. All the beautiful, wonderful things we can pull up in our heads, events, people, stories, love, laughter, life together. What a great gift. Even sounds and flavors and smells carry such memory. But what about when those are gone due to memory loss? Especially when it's your deeply loved partner in life, your spouse, or an especially loved friend with whom you've shared a lot of life. There's a profound level of loss that comes that some of you know all too well. Where that shared life on the other side for the other person, it's gone blank. I don't know loss on that level. I pray I never do. But I'm experiencing a little bit of it with my mom. Her memory is now threadbare due to dementia. So much is now gone. She's 87 and it's understandable. But her recollection of me, her youngest child, is spotty. And any fine-tuned memories of my childhood or family life, family history, that's gone. And it won't be retrieved. I know that. Little bits here and there, sometimes a little glimpse, a little thing will pop up, but for the most part, it's gone. But this isn't. And this is the only reason I'm bringing up my mom today, and I'll be brief. What's not gone with my mom is this: seeking God's face. Remembering that God has kept his promises. She doesn't remember with fine-tuned precision, but she has that deep in the bones awareness that God knows her, and she knows God, and God has kept his promises, and Jesus is the one around whom her whole life has revolved, and he's the one leading her on from here. And ultimately, that's all that matters. And so even in the cloud of dementia, those imperatives from the beginning of Psalm 105, they still ring true. Give praise. Call on his name. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Listen to the benediction that I often use at the end of worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face, panim. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, same word, panim. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. With all that we hold in our lives, and in our memories, our hopes, our fears, our wounds, our joy, our love. Remember that He remembers you, us. Remember that He remembers His promises. Remember on our side of the equation, because God remembers completely on His side of the equation. And He's leading us somewhere. And through Jesus Christ and His resurrection, He makes us into new people, forgiven and freed, healed and whole, able to sing His praises in all of it. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Let's pray. Oh God, what an invitation You give to seek Your face, to seek to be close, closer than what we can figure out on our own, but You invite us to simply open our lives to You and to let the light of Your presence come upon us, all through Jesus Christ. So I pray for us here today that You would carry us further into this. Whether we've been following You for decades or for months, or maybe right on the edge, not quite sure who You are yet, that You would attract us and that You would fill us and that we would know Your face shining upon us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.